You'll hear an interview with a man called Josh Reed who teaches people how to climb trees. For questions 24 to 30, choose the best answer, A, B, or C. You now have 1 minute to look at part four.
Today, Josh Reed, who runs courses teaching people to climb trees, will answer questions sent in by our listeners. But first, Josh, how do people respond when you tell them what your job is?
They say things like, "How can anyone do that?" It is a weird career choice, so I can understand why they don't believe anyone actually does it for a living. And it's certainly not the sort of work that would suit everyone.
Now, Ben, who's 12, asks how old you were when you started climbing trees.
Well, I was about Ben's age, actually. There were lots of trees where I lived, and I used to climb them after school. The world felt different from up there, and it was an escape for me from all the homework and stuff I was expected to do. I began with the smaller trees, but soon progressed to the bigger, more difficult ones. I even climbed neighbours' trees. I'm sure my parents wouldn't have been very happy about that, but I just couldn't resist it.
Right. Chris, who's 15, asks if you've ever had any other jobs.
Well, I studied engineering at college, but there weren't many jobs in that field at the time. I saw an advert for an assistant tree surgeon, which involved making sure trees in parks and other public places were healthy and in good condition. So I went for the job and ended up doing it for 15 years. I never had any formal qualifications, but I worked with people who knew a lot and passed their knowledge on to me. I should have given it up sooner than I did, though. I needed a new challenge.
That takes us to Elena's question. What made you want to start organizing tree climbing courses?
Well, working as a tree surgeon, you get to know a lot about things like different types of wood, how trees develop, and also their importance to us. It made me think about what we're doing to trees and nature generally. I reckoned if I encouraged people to climb trees, they might see the world from a different perspective and then become interested in protecting nature. Tree climbing makes you fit too, and I thought people might be attracted by that as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lucy asks if she could learn how to climb really tall trees.
There's lots of interest in them, like the giant redwoods, which can be over 100 metres high. With the safety equipment and methods, experts can get up them without injuring themselves. Their trunks tend to be quite plain, but there are birds, insects and small plants living at the top of them, which, of course, people would like to get close to. But extremely tall trees are also extremely old and can be fragile, and they should be left alone as much as possible. There are plenty of others worth climbing.
Maria asks what sort of people you teach.
Well, the majority are just ordinary people. Actually, I've recently finished a course for some 15-year-olds. Teenagers sometimes get criticised for not paying attention to what instructors like me say, but this group were very attentive. Like younger people often do, they picked up the basic skills quite easily. The only real issue was when they climbed a tree with a huge ant's nest in it. Some of them got really worked up about that, but generally they were much more confident by the end.
Right. A final question from Peter. What are your plans for the future?
Actually, I'd like to continue to do interviews like this. They're a good way to get across the message about tree climbing. The gear we use is much better than it was, and there are good techniques that can be passed on. Tree climbing doesn't have to be restricted to this country either. The idea that tree climbing is a good leisure activity to take up has plenty of potential in other places too, I'm sure.
Okay, Josh. Thanks very much.
Now you'll hear part four again.
Today, Josh Reed, who runs courses teaching people to climb trees, will answer questions sent in by our listeners. But first, Josh, how do people respond when you tell them what your job is?
They say things like, "How can anyone do that?" It is a weird career choice, so I can understand why they don't believe anyone actually does it for a living. And it's certainly not the sort of work that would suit everyone.
Now, Ben, who's 12, asks how old you were when you started climbing trees.
Well, I was about Ben's age, actually. There were lots of trees where I lived, and I used to climb them after school. The world felt different from up there, and it was an escape for me from all the homework and stuff I was expected to do. I began with the smaller trees, but soon progressed to the bigger, more difficult ones. I even climbed neighbours' trees. I'm sure my parents wouldn't have been very happy about that, but I just couldn't resist it.
Right. Chris, who's 15, asks if you've ever had any other jobs.
Well, I studied engineering at college, but there weren't many jobs in that field at the time. I saw an advert for an assistant tree surgeon, which involved making sure trees in parks and other public places were healthy and in good condition. So I went for the job and ended up doing it for 15 years. I never had any formal qualifications, but I worked with people who knew a lot and passed their knowledge on to me. I should have given it up sooner than I did, though. I needed a new challenge.
That takes us to Elena's question. What made you want to start organizing tree climbing courses?
Well, working as a tree surgeon, you get to know a lot about things like different types of wood, how trees develop, and also their importance to us. It made me think about what we're doing to trees and nature generally. I reckoned if I encouraged people to climb trees, they might see the world from a different perspective and then become interested in protecting nature. Tree climbing makes you fit too, and I thought people might be attracted by that as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lucy asks if she could learn how to climb really tall trees.
There's lots of interest in them, like the giant redwoods, which can be over 100 metres high. With the safety equipment and methods, experts can get up them without injuring themselves. Their trunks tend to be quite plain, but there are birds, insects and small plants living at the top of them, which, of course, people would like to get close to. But extremely tall trees are also extremely old and can be fragile, and they should be left alone as much as possible. There are plenty of others worth climbing.
Maria asks what sort of people you teach.
Well, the majority are just ordinary people. Actually, I've recently finished a course for some 15-year-olds. Teenagers sometimes get criticised for not paying attention to what instructors like me say, but this group were very attentive. Like younger people often do, they picked up the basic skills quite easily. The only real issue was when they climbed a tree with a huge ant's nest in it. Some of them got really worked up about that, but generally they were much more confident by the end.
Right. A final question from Peter. What are your plans for the future?
Actually, I'd like to continue to do interviews like this. They're a good way to get across the message about tree climbing. The gear we use is much better than it was, and there are good techniques that can be passed on. Tree climbing doesn't have to be restricted to this country either. The idea that tree climbing is a good leisure activity to take up has plenty of potential in other places too, I'm sure.
Okay, Josh. Thanks very much.
That's the end of part four. There will now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. Be sure to follow the numbering of all the questions. I'll remind you when there's 1 minute left so that you are sure to finish in time. That's the end of the test. Please stop now. Your supervisor will now collect all the question papers and answer sheets.